If you can turn with me in God's Word, please, to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. We'll take a reading from verse 9 down to 14. I want to continue the message, the second part of the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for thy hand already this day. We thank thee for thy presence. We rejoice, O Lord, we've been able to sing about Jesus our King. Hallelujah. We have a Saviour from all sin. We rejoice, O God, when he saved us. He brought us out of the pit of sin. And Father, we thank thee he put our sin behind his back, never to be remembered anymore. Surely, Lord, we are a blessed people because we're a people saved by the Lord. Give us help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in writing to the saints at Philippi, assured them that with him being in prison, the gospel was advancing. The reason being, the gospel is not Paul's gospel, nor was it man's gospel. Rather, the gospel of God, as it centers upon redemption, the payment and forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, is the very gospel that God has given. God was pleased according to his own sovereign purpose, as the King of Glory, to place Paul, his servant, in prison in Rome, all for the furtherance of the gospel, that sinners would believe the things concerning Jesus Christ, and believers would be strengthened in the things concerning Jesus Christ. We have considered the cause and the circumstances in the furtherance of the gospel. Want to notice some other thoughts even this morning. Notice thirdly, the consequences in the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The word manifest means revealed, appeared openly, or that which is made known. And Paul, the point that he is making, that it was made known that he was in prison for preaching the gospel. Paul preached that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. And so Paul is not in prison because of any other crime. Rather, he's accused because he preached the gospel. And Paul sees himself while he is in bonds, yes, chained in a Roman prison. Yet above all, Paul sees himself as a prisoner of the Lord. I'm here because I've been faithful to the Savior. Also, it was manifested, it was made known that Paul preached the gospel because the soldiers who Paul was chained to, they could hear the message that Paul would share with others, and it was also spread around other places. It was recognized that the light of the gospel shone forth despite Paul's circumstances. That which bound him to a prison or a prison guard became the means that God used to advance the gospel of saving grace. The consequence for the furtherance of the gospel by Paul's imprisonment meant that Paul was able to reach people that he never would have been able to reach before had he not been in prison. When Paul preached the gospel in the open air, when Paul preached the gospel exalting Christ, the authorities chased him down. They hunted him, and with a seal they came upon him to stop him, to silence him, and to bring him even to prison. And what seemed like a failure in gospel ministry actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel in all other places. Through Paul's imprisonment, other believers were strengthened and the gospel spread from area to area. Paul says here that So my bonds in Christ are manifest, that's made known, in all the palace and in all other places. That phrase, as you have it there before you, in all the palace. Commentators and preachers differ on the usage of that word. What does that word palace actually refer to, or the phrase in all the palace? The original Greek reading of the word, or that phrase, is in the whole praetorium. And the term praetorium can refer either to a place or to a group of people. And so we'll look at the both views and we'll come to a sort of conclusion together. But the term praetorium, it means the commander's headquarters. It refers to the general's residence, the empire's house, a Roman camp, an official work outside or inside of Rome. Remember when Christ was sentenced by Pilate, who was a Roman official. We learn in Mark chapter 15, verse 16, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And then Christ obviously was sentenced to crucifixion. And for that reason, some take the word as it stands, in all the palace, in all the praetorium, that part of Caesar's court, a particular location. In fact, if you have a Bible margin, and obviously in your Bible, but that is the part in your Bible that has the middle index. Some Bibles have it, some Bibles do not. Mine does, and it's this wee part here you'll see, and it just has a symbol in the middle. If you're in the Old Testament, it will give you Hebrew renderings, and if you're in the Greek New Testament, it will give you Greek renderings. And so this word refers, it says, in Caesar's court. So that's the word referring to an actual place, an actual location. But in considering the place to a group of people, some take in all the palace to refer to people within Rome, known as Caesar's household, including the soldiers serving in the palace, known as the Praetorian Guards. The term also included believers who lived in Rome. For instance, you have the same word or thought used in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, about those who lived in Rome. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. And so they lived in that Roman area. And so for this reason, some take it to refer also to the people within that area. This word palace, its original wording, praetorium, always also gives the word for the Roman soldiers of that day called the Praetorian Guards. And they were the ones who Paul was chained to. It was believed there was around 9,000 to 10,000 of these soldiers. But either way, the point I want to make in connecting the two thoughts together, whether to a place, to a people, both really are in view. But the point I make is this, that the gospel was advancing in places and among people that it would not have been had Paul not been in prison. When Paul came to Rome as a prisoner, he was placed in a Roman prison and chained to one of these Roman guards. And therefore, they heard the gospel, and those surrounding Paul and those surrounding the Roman soldiers also heard the gospel. They heard those wonderful conversations as people came to visit Paul, and Paul exalted Christ, and Paul lifted up Christ as the only Savior of sinners. Paul, as he preached Christ, the Savior, then exposed all the Roman false gods, all their false idols. You can imagine a Roman soldier there, and Paul is chained to him, and he hears Paul preaching the gospel, the things concerning Christ, the things concerning his kingdom, the things concerning redemption, and that forgiveness of sins is only by faith alone, in Christ alone, no other Savior, no other Redeemer. And those Roman guards listening, because they have their Roman idols, their Roman gods, their pagan statues, all their traditions. And so as Paul preaches, all that is being exposed as being false. And we learn later, don't we, that many believed, but others stayed in their sin. Again, as Acts chapter 28, verses 17 to 31, give the whole conversation. But to summarize, Paul preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, some believed. And so the consequences for Paul's imprisonment was the furtherance of the gospel. People in a particular place heard the message of redeeming grace. And therefore, believer, all that comes into our life, the things that happen unto us, it is for the furtherance of the gospel. God permits these things, that you will meet people that you've never met before, that you will maybe go to a place that you've never been before, because there's people there or a place there that needs to hear the gospel. And as I said, even being in hospital, these things are not mistakes, because there's people there in that place that need to hear the gospel. And so all that comes into our life, the places that we go to, or the Lord permits us to go to, or the people that God brings before our path, it's all for the furtherance of the gospel. And you may be in a particular situation. You may be in a particular place. You may meet particular people. And God has put you there to be that witness for them. And you would not have met them at any other time, at any other place. But God directed you there in order they would hear the gospel. So may God take this congregation in London that are bonds in Christ, as prisoners to Christ, servants of Christ, bound to do His will, that our life will be manifest in all the palace and in all other places in this city, among people and throughout the United Kingdom, that the gospel will be furthered. Unsaved one, you have heard the gospel truth, and like those Romans listening to Paul, your false idols, your many ways to heaven, they've all been exposed as being false, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but through Him. It's not through the church. It's not through Mary. It's not through religion. It's not through the preacher. It's through Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, only Christ can forgive you of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Salvation is not believing on the denomination or the preacher. It is coming to Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship to Him. Can I ask you this day, do you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Or you may have a head knowledge of the gospel, but do you have a heart knowledge of the gospel? Notice, fourthly, the confidence in the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, and many of the brethren, verse 14, waxing confident by my bonds. The gospel was advancing outside the church, but also inside the church, because of Paul's boldness, Paul's encouragement, Paul's imprisonment had a positive impact upon the believers in Rome and also to the church at Philippi, as they had this letter read to them. Believers were strengthened and they were encouraged to see how the gospel was furthered, even though Paul was in prison. Remember, some just couldn't grasp how the gospel could be furthered, how the gospel could be advanced with Paul in prison. But now they are finding out it is being advanced. And therefore, these believers were waxing confident. The phrase waxing confident means trust. It means to be persuaded. You think of something wax, it hardens. And therefore, the overall idea is to be firm, to be strong in the Lord. They were waxing confident. The people of God were persuaded. They were made confident. They were made stronger through Paul's situation in prison. His circumstances, all he went through, and the furtherance of the gospel encouraged them, strengthened them in serving the Lord. They began to see how God could use Paul, even in a hard situation, even when his circumstances had changed, even when things seemed to be against, yet they could see now how God did further his own cause. And they concluded, if God could minister through Paul in his circumstances and his condition, then he could minister to them and through them as well in whatever they faced. They became confident again to share the gospel. They waxed confident again, persuaded again to speak the word in truth. They were not ashamed to own their Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. And therefore, when they learned from Paul, when they looked at Paul's situation, it gave them encouragement and they waxed stronger, confident to come and share the gospel again. And so, believer, we grow and we learn of one another. We are one another's encouragement in serving the Lord. When God sends each one of us through a trial, through a period of testing, whenever our circumstances change and things seem to go things are going against us, yet God is able to use that situation and use your circumstances for the furtherance of the gospel. And therefore that gives others encouragement to know that whenever they go through that same trial or they go through any trial, God is still able to further his gospel, to spread his word, to advance his cause through their circumstance. Because it is God's cause and God will always advance his cause. There's no situation too hard. There's no circumstance too difficult. Whatever comes into our life, God is still able to use it for the advancement of the gospel, for the advancement of his cause. And the result will be either sinners getting saved or another Christian being strengthened. I don't know about you, but I grew up hearing other Christians and I've read other books. There's a wonderful book. I don't know if you've ever read it, you've heard about it. I have a copy of it, but the lady was called home to be with the Lord. I can't remember the whole story now, but it was from a dear man called Dr. Fawn. And you may know his wife, Mrs. Fawn, and their daughter. And early in life, there was an explosion in the house. And Mrs. Fawn and her daughter, they both experienced burns over 90% of their body, maybe more. And it was a tough time, a challenging time. And the book came out upon that there. But through that woman, she was able to share first day by day. And she writes about how she was not allowed to see her daughter for a number of months and all the rest. And all the scars in her body and different things. And she wrote a day-to-day account, first by first, how God helped her, how God strengthened her, how God challenged her. And that was able to be an encouragement for other people who were going through similar circumstances or trying situations. They were encouraged, they were strengthened, even to use that, their situation, to share the gospel, even to say, whatever has come into my life, I know Jesus doeth all things well. I don't know how long this will go, but I do know that God will lead me through it all. Our situations will change, but God remains the same. And therefore, Paul could write in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Paul could write to troubled believers in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the words looking on to mean to look on to, but away from everything else. It means to have your mind focused what is before you and to keep on doing it. Don't look to the side. In fact, in our family devotion the other day, we were reading that account of the life of Peter. Whenever the Lord told Peter to step out on the water, and as one man has often said, it's not so much that Peter stepped out on the water, Peter stepped out on the word. And what was that word? Come. And Peter came. And as he was walking to Christ, he was walking on the water, on the word, straight to the Savior. But what happened? He got his mind off Christ. He got his mind on the storm, on the circumstance, on the boisterous sea. And he began to fall. He began to sink. He got out of the way. And he had to cry, Lord, save me. And the Lord came and helped him. And so Paul was saying, looking on to Jesus in your circumstance, in your trial, keep looking to the Lord. Keep depending upon the Lord. Keep trusting in the Lord, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. And the message is the same, unsaved one. You need to look away from every other false idol, every other false way, and look to Jesus Christ alone. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Consider the substitutional sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he went through in his life to purchase our redemption. Men and women, when we look to Jesus Christ and we look at his sufferings, then we understand he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. All he did was for us as our great high priest, and he sympathizes with us. He knows what we're going through, and therefore he's able to come and help us in those times. Notice fourthly, the courage in the furtherance of the gospel. Many, verse 14, of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now remember, keep the context before you. The believers at Philippi, they have heard that Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel. And as we said, to the ones at Philippi, they can't understand how the gospel will be spread. The believers in Rome, they get first witness of what is going on, the whole situation. And among the both, there seems to be a lack of courage as Paul is writing. There seems to be a hesitance. Those back at Philippi, they hear Paul's in prison. Those living in Rome have seen Paul taken to prison. They've seen Paul who was preaching, and now he's bound in a prison. There's antagonism against the gospel of Christ. There's hatred against the gospel of Christ. And so that caused the believers to take a step back. They were hesitant in preaching the gospel, in sharing the gospel, because what they began to think is, if this is what happened to Paul, then what would happen to us? Remember, even after the Savior, his death and then his resurrection, the disciples, they shut themselves away for fear of the Jews. They locked themselves. They hid themselves away for fear of the Jews. And so these believers, there's a hesitancy to spread the gospel because of all the persecution. And therefore, Paul's imprisonment is a means to strengthen them again, to see the gospel flourish, to see even in prison, God can still use his people. King Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." And the word snare means to be trapped, means to be caught, means to be stuck. The idea is of an animal or someone advancing through a field. They're making progress from one end to the other end. But at some point they fall into a trap. And when they fall into a trap, they are stuck. They are caught. They can't go anywhere. They can't do anything. They're just stuck in a trap. And so it is when it comes to persecution. The believers, they were snared. Paul was taken to prison. He was there chained. And it snared them in giving out the gospel. They were stuck. They stopped moving forward. But Paul's imprisonment. And when they found out from Paul that God was using Paul, in fact, God was advancing the gospel, then they began to wax confident. They began to get strong. And then they began to get bold to preach the word. And maybe, believer, that's you as well. You have become snared. Maybe there's a snare in giving out gospel leaflets. You're trapped. You're stuck because you wonder, how will people react? You fear because of response, because of their reaction, maybe because of their rejection. You fear to get on the wrong side. And so you're snared, you're trapped, unable to share the gospel. Well, take encouragement from Paul that God is using his word. God is using his servants to advance the cause. These believers, whatever small courage they seemed to have, had now been strengthened by Paul's imprisonment. They have now seen the gospel advance. They have now witnessed the power of God. They have now witnessed people inside of Rome actually getting saved. And now they begin to be encouraged. They begin to wax confident. And now they have a boldness to make Christ known. They have courage to serve the Lord in that area. Again, notice the words, much more bold or much more courage to speak the word without fear, to speak the word without snare, without the entrapments, without being stuck. The word much more means abundantly. It means that which is increasing, that which is getting stronger. The same word is used in Mark chapter 15, verse 14, during the trial of Christ. Remember Pilate, he knew that Christ was the sinless one. Christ was the Holy One. Christ had come to save his people from their sin. And yet, the chief priests, they moved the people. They persuaded the people to have Christ crucified. And in Mark chapter 15, verse 13, they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then verse 14, Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out more, notice, exceedingly, "Crucify him." See that phrase? They cried out more exceedingly. They cried out more intensely. They cried out more stronger. They cried out more abundantly. Their cry, their shout, their desire to see Christ crucified was getting louder, was getting stronger, was getting more intense than it was previous. And that's the same word here when it comes to the believers at Rome seeing Paul imprisoned. They feared because Paul was imprisoned. They couldn't understand how the gospel will advance. And they began to fear. They began to be hesitant. But when they seen that God was actually using Paul's situation for the furtherance of the gospel, when they actually seen Paul witnessing and souls were getting saved, then it gave them strength. It gave them encouragement. It gave them help to get involved again. And they began to wax confident. They began to get strong in the Lord. They then had a boldness, a courage to make Christ known. And this was getting stronger. It was getting intense. It's get me out again to preach Christ. Get me out again to tell others. And that's what it does. They came to speak the word without fear. Notice that word, speak the word. It's not the standard word meaning to preach the word as in hurled out the word, but it is to make the word known by communication or by conversation. The same word is used in Acts 16 verses 13 through to 14. We read that Paul and the missionary team, when they came to Philippi, says, we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted hither. Also in verse 14, referring to Lydia, she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. Again, Acts 16, verse 33 or 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. That was Paul speaking to the Philippian jailer. And the whole point was, it was to communicate the word, speak the word, as in a small group, a one-to-one basis, communicating the word. And so the believers, not only were they getting a boldness, not only was there a strength again to share the word, but they were encouraged and had courage to speak the word one-on-one. They could come and tell others about the gospel in their lives, because that's what Paul prayed for, even himself, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. For me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly or with courage to make known the mystery of the gospel, to make known the revealing of the gospel. And so boldness, courage to stand in the gospel, to share the gospel, to serve in the gospel, such was given by the Lord. Remember Joshua. Whenever Joshua was to take over Moses, that great man of God, Moses, that leader who had led the people of Israel, they had great times with Moses. They had times at God's right hand. They seen the sea open and all other things. Then Moses has died. Joshua is to take over. You can imagine the fear that Joshua had, the snare. And yet the Lord comes and has a word for Joshua. In Joshua 1 verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. And that was a word that the believers could also use as well as they would go through Rome. As I am with Paul, I will be with thee. And as we go around London and other places to spread the gospel, as I was with Moses, Joshua, Paul, so I will be with thee. I will give you that boldness. I will give you that courage. I will give you that help to share the gospel one-on-one, to speak the word to others, to share with your neighbor, to share with your friend, to share with your colleague, to share with the one on the street, the one in the hospital, the one on the tube, the one in the train, that one-on-one situation. Like Jeremiah, I will put my word in your mouth and I will tell you what to say. And so we ought to pray, Lord, give one-on-one situations where I can speak the gospel, where I can share the gospel, where I can communicate the gospel to others of what the Lord has done for me. Because we learn in Isaiah 55 verse 11 that Christ's word shall not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that which he shall please, and it shall prosper in the thing where he sent it. God's word will not return unto him void. And so, believer, in the furtherance of the gospel, here was a band of people who looked at Paul's situation. They thought at the start, how can good come out of this? How can the gospel advance out of this? But when they seen it, And when they seen how God was using Paul, God was blessing Paul, they began to take encouragement. And they began to have a zeal once again to go out and to share the gospel and tell others about Jesus Christ. In closing, I say to you, unsaved one, we don't communicate to you man's words. We communicate to you the very word of God. Sin will only ever be forgiven, entrance only into heaven, by being covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You must have your sin forgiven this day. You must have Jesus Christ as your Savior, not one of many, rather the only Savior to have entrance into heaven. Cry on to Him this day for mercy, and He will save your soul. Believer, whatever it is you're facing right now, whatever it is you will face, God will permit it. God will allow it. For the furtherance of the gospel will be maybe to strengthen another believer. It may be to see someone come to Christ. But whatever it is, God will use it for the furtherance of His own cause. Are you willing to be used for the gospel's sake? In Jesus' name, amen.